live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
This is the main evening news at 5 o'clock on Highland Radio. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines, Private Sean Rooney has been laid to rest in Newton Cunningham today with full military honours. The funeral of Private Rooney, who died while on a peacekeeping mission in Lebanon last week, took place in Dundalk earlier today. A Glenties councillor has welcomed the news that a boil water notice affecting areas in West Donegal has been lifted. The notice has been in place for the last week, but local residents have been notified that it has now been removed. Tusa say their Feroiga Youth Services will remain in Dunloe for the foreseeable future, and Irish Water now says it's likely to be 6 o'clock this evening before a major water outage in West Donegal is resolved. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more coming up over the next half hour. Kenny Harrigan will be here with all the latest in sport from a quarter past five, and we'll have this week's farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. To this evening's main story, and Private Sean Rooney has been laid to rest in Newton Cunningham today with full military honours. The funeral of Private Rooney, who died while on a peacekeeping mission in Lebanon last week, took place in Dundalk earlier today. His cortege then travelled through Northern Ireland, where assistance was provided by the PSNI. Michaela Clark has more.
Private Sean Rooney has been laid to rest at All Saints Church in Newton Cunningham today. He was killed when the convoy he was travelling in came under attack in Lebanon on Wednesday last during his second foreign tour with the Irish Defence Forces. His funeral cortege arrived in the village at around 3 p.m. where members of the forces were waiting to lead him in procession to his final resting place on a gun carriage led by a brass band. Former members of the Defence Forces stood in guard of honour outside the church also. President Michael D. Higgins, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Garda Commissioner Drew Harris, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, Senator Ger Crothwell and Minister Charney McConnell were in attendance, along with numerous Donegal public representatives. The UN peacekeeping flag, which draped Private Rooney's coffin, was presented to his fiancée and the tricolour to his mother. Father Pascal Hanrahan, Chief Chaplain for the Defence Forces, officiated the burial and was joined by the Bishop of Raphoe, Alan McGuckian. Following the burial, a gun salute rang out in Newton Cunningham.
Agriculture Minister Charney McConnell was one of the dignitaries present at the burial service in Newton Cunningham. He's paid tribute to Private Rooney.
It's a very sombre day for the county and for the community of Newton Cunningham in particular. And it's a big loss for Sean's family, his friends and his colleagues. And it's very clear from all of the tributes that have been paid to him over the last week that he was a tremendous example of all that is best about young people in Ireland and all that is best about our defence forces. And he died in the line of serving others and protecting others and doing his duty. And and gave his life up, and that has happened, unfortunately, in instances in the past. But for such a young life cut short, it's a tremendous tragedy. But people of Newton Cunningham are turning out very strongly here as to show their respect and for Sean and indeed his colleagues and all in the Defence Forces turning out as well to give him the respect that he absolutely deserves and merits. But it's just such a tragedy that such a young and bright life has been drawn to a close in these circumstances and in such an early age.
Tusa say their Feroiga Youth Services will remain in Dunloe for the foreseeable future. In a statement released today, Tusa said that funding for Feroiga in Dunloe has not been reduced and that there are no plans to move premises or end services in the area. Tusa also acknowledged there had been upset and confusion in relation to the matter and that they're planning to host a public meeting in Dunloe in January to address concerns. The statement comes after rumours in recent days that the service would be dramatically reduced in the future due to funding concerns. A Glenties councillor has welcomed the news that a boil water notice affecting areas in West Donegal has been lifted. The boil notice has been in place for the last week, but local residents have been notified the notice has now been removed. Local councillor Micheál Colin Michaela Aspig has welcomed the swift action of Donegal County Council staff in resolving the issue, but says Irish Water must do more.
There was a lot of concern in the community after what we saw happened in Litcher with the very long boil notice in place there. But I have to but only commend and praise the local staff from top to bottom and the effort, time, energy and the undoubtable commitment that they gave to restore water back again to Gidor, Igas and Wahan, Lia and Narasa before Christmas is just second to none, like I said. So that's fantastic work. It shows you the commitment that local staff from Donegal County Council has in relation to water infrastructure, water quality, and water safety. And this is fantastic news. We did think that it would be a lot longer on a boil notice, but again, this has been turned around very quickly, and it's great news because we saw a situation there where we were left without water unless we boiled it. A lot of families were, and a lot of businesses were really struggling, unfair on them in some sense, where we had businesses out of pocket, we had families, individuals out of pocket at a time when we're, people are struggling to put food on the table. There's no doubt about it who delivered this. This is Donegal County Council and their staff who delivered in relation to getting the boil notice lifted. And I want to give credit to everybody from the HSE, to the staff, council staff that were involved. But now we need to look at answering the questions that the public need to answer. We need an investigation into this here. We need to get the findings made public in relation to this here.
Elsewhere, Irish Water now says it's likely to be 6 o'clock this evening before another major outage in West Donegal is resolved. Local councillor Michael McLafferty says that once again, people supplied by the Ardsbeg plant in Gortahark are being affected, which is a cause of great concern. He says, as well as the area from Falkara to Maharaurti, the area towards Dunfanaghy is also coming under severe pressure and a lack of water. Councillor McLafferty says it's imperative Irish Water meets with Glenties councillors early in the new year to take immediate steps investing in Ardsbeg.
The Ardsbeg plant, whatever is wrong with it, has to be brought up to scratch. Whatever it needs, throw the money at it. I appreciate there may be blaming weather on it, may very well be the cause, but it wasn't the cause last week, it wasn't the cause the week before, or the week before, or the week before. This is an ongoing thing, Donald, to be fair. It's the most serious point today that has been certainly in my term being elected.
Over the course of the past number of weeks, Irish Water and Donegal County Council were decoupled. The separation between the council and Irish Water has now been made permanent. Is that a matter of concern that there's even more of a gulf now between Irish Water and yourselves as councillors?
Well, I believe there is. I did bring this actually up at a meeting, and you're probably there yourself, Drew, to be fair, and I brought it up elsewhere as well, that I did have concerns that once January 23 come, what's going to happen then? For example, people are ringing in at the minute. You're talking to people on the call centre, members of the public. You're getting somebody, wherever, with respect, down through the Midlands. They're not aware of Donegal. They're not aware of the rural infrastructure. They're not aware of the network. They're not aware of the addresses. They have difficulty with the addresses. They struggle with some of the addresses. Once you take anything away from your own local doorstep, we're all in trouble. All I see going forward in 23 with Irish Water at the moment is just fraught with problems, unless they are prepared to come to the table in the early year and to meet with us in Glenties here. I know there are other MDs will be looking for them too. But here, at the minute, it's very, very troublesome. Unless they come up with some answers and see where are they going to spend the money, what are they going to do. We know ourselves on the ground. I know what's happening on the ground. Neil Collin knows what's happening on the ground. John Hamilton Farrell knows what's happening on the ground. Anthony Malloy, Kirsten McGarvey, Kirsten Mary Therese. It's all the same. All our own areas, we know. But it's getting that cemented, galvanised actually across the Irish Water, what is happening on the ground. And they have to listen to us. They have to listen to our points.
Marine Minister Charlie McConnell has welcomed the announcement of Ireland's fishing quota for 2023 today, as well as the outcome of negotiations between the European Union and the UK on a shared fish stock. Industry representatives have raised some concerns, though, calling on the government to address the disparity between Ireland's quota and the rest of the EU's. But Minister McConnell has welcomed the new quotas, saying he's worked to protect and increase Ireland's share.
Very welcome that we've had a conclusion of the negotiations with the UK in relation to our fisheries quotas for next year. It was a difficult and challenging negotiation, and it wasn't concluded in advance of the EU ministers meeting a week ago for a 2-day fisheries council meeting. But we held a very strong line with the European Commission in terms of ensuring that we could maximise our quotas and the outcome from the negotiations with the UK. And thankfully, as a result of the agreement that's now been reached, we're going to see increases in our quotas for prawns and also for Celtic sea monkfish, for hake, megrim, for northwest haddock, and also for whiting, which is going to be important for fishing communities across Donegal. There is some fish which will be managed with less of a quota this year, and such as horse mackerel and cod stocks, because of the fact that the stocks are under pressure and they need time to recover. But overall, I think we've had a very strong outcome.
And while there is some good news, of course, with that deal being struck between the European Union and the UK, an important deal to kind of provide clarity for many fishers, there are many from the industry who will still say that Ireland's fish stocks are nowhere near what they could or should be. Do you have any assurances you can give to the fishing sector that Ireland's stock will not be decreasing but in fact increasing in the future?
Yeah, well, the negotiations with Norway remain outstanding. They were broken off because we simply wouldn't accept what was an offer. I've been holding a very strong line with the EU Commission and with other member states that that we have to minimise any transfer to Norway and maximise the blue whiting quota for Ireland, and also in relation to any access to Irish waters, that those member states that are benefiting from that must pay in relation to fish, blue whiting in particular, for any access.
The HSE say they've sourced a suitable location for daycare services in the Carndonagh area and are working closely with a local community centre group regarding the opening of daycare centres in the Glengad Community Centre. Local people say the service closed during COVID and never reopened, leaving many elderly people without vital social interaction. Councillor Albert Doherty is a member of the HSE's Regional Health Forum West. He says while he appreciates the temporary venues which have hosted local people, Carndonagh needs a full-time dedicated day centre.
I'm very thankful for community premises, particularly Sleaves, Snat, Dumfries, St. Colum Kills and Clonmany, and now at Ballymena, the community centre in Glengad. But in Carndonagh, we are seeking the restoration of services, and I still believe the HSE could go an extra mile and identify a location. I believe that asking the older people of Carndonagh to travel is not fair on the families, and I believe it's more costing for the HSE. I've talked to a number of premises and a number of community leaders saying, can you be the solution? And I also include the HSE because many have told me with a little bit of internal accommodation works, perhaps we could go back to the Carndonagh Community Hospital.
The medical care of people is important, but they also need social interaction, familiarity. When you're in a temporary centre, you don't have the level of consistency that's really needed, do you?
One local family has put it, the stimuli for living, to engage with people of their own age, people from their own locality, but that has been missing since the COVID, and families have shared with me the extreme frustration and the significant mental effects that it has had. And I'm again appealing for all concerned, HSE, Minister Butler and her department and our local community, you know, let's examine and go the extra mile so that we can resolve this issue for our older citizens.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll take a short break. Sport with Kenny's coming up after these.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. This Christmas, treat the GAA fan in your life to a Donegal jersey or the Six Sock Donegal men's gift box. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15, time to go over to Kenny Harkin at the sports desk.
Thanks, Daniel. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Kevin Kelleher set the starting goal for Liverpool in tonight's Carabao Cup fourth round tie away to Manchester City. The Republic of Ireland goalkeeper has started Liverpool's last three League Cup outings, providing crucial penalty shootout saves in the last two. It's an 8 o'clock start at the Etihad, and the draw for the quarterfinals will be made straight afterwards. And with a spot already secured, Chelsea will look to end their Women's Champions League Group A campaign unbeaten. They welcome Paris Saint-Germain to Stamford Bridge tonight, where kickoff is at 8 o'clock. Here at home, Shamrock Rovers have confirmed the signing from Shelburne of Republic of Ireland forward Abby Larkin. Shells confirmed this week that the 17-year-old was leaving, having thought she would be staying for next season. Elsewhere, World Cup winners Argentina, they're up to second spot in FIFA's men's rankings, with Brazil holding on to top spot. England, they remain fifth after going out in the quarter-finals in Qatar, while runners-up France, they climb to third above Belgium. Wales, who went out in the group stages, they drop 9 places to 28th. Scotland are 42nd. The Republic of Ireland, they're 48th, and Northern Ireland, 59th. In some other news, Coventry have been handed a suspended 5-point reduction after their first three home games of the Championship season were postponed. The pitch at the CBS Arena was deemed unsafe and unplayable ahead of matches with Rotherham, Wigan and Huddersfield. And Birmingham City Council have granted planning permission to expand Villa Park's capacity to 50,000. The home of the Premier League club Aston Villa was shortlisted by the UK and Ireland's joint bid to host matches at Euro 2028. And brain concussion charity Headway has welcomed a request from the Premier League to trial concussion substitutes next season. It would allow for a player to be temporarily replaced while they receive further medical assessment off the pitch. Headway says it would allow for better informed decisions. The International Football Association board is considering the proposal. In rugby, World Rugby is introducing a number of rule tweaks from January the 1st in an effort to speed up the game. Kickers will have 90 seconds to take a conversion from the reward of a try and 60 seconds to take a penalty. There will also be less reliance on television match officials. And United Rugby Championship organisers, they're seeking a full report into the racist incident at Benetton involving their prop, Sherif Traore. The Guinean-born Italy international received a rotten banana to the laughter of his teammates in a secret Santa event. Traore has accepted an apology from his teammates, but the URC want to know what meaningful action will be taken by the club. And Nathan Doak, he will start at out half for Ulster in tomorrow night's URC game away to Connacht. Much as he did against La Rochelle, he replaces the injured Billy Burns. Connacht, they make 12 changes to the side that won away to Breve, with Mac Hansen, Jack Carty and Finlay Beelam among those returning. And James Tracy says he's retiring with a heavy heart. The 31-year-old hooker suffered a neck injury playing against Connacht in April and has been advised to retire on medical grounds. Tracy came off the bench in Leinster's Heineken Champions Cup win in 2018 and helped them to 4 league titles. He also won 6 caps for Ireland. And finally, for this evening, in darts, 2-time former champion Gary Anderson is in second round action at the PDC World Darts Championship tonight. He's taking on Latvia's Madars Rasma, while James Wade goes up against Jim Williams of Wales. Already today, there have been wins for Mensur Sulovic, Ryan Searle and Krzysztof Rytacki. That's your sport for this evening. It's back to Daniel.
Thanks, Kenny. Weather now staying mostly dry this evening with a few mist and fog patches and some isolated showers. It'll be cold and mostly dry tonight with clear spells and some fog patches as well. Lowest temperatures of 0 to 2 degrees overnight tonight. And this evening's main stories once again. Private Sean Rooney has been laid to rest in Newton Cunningham today with full military honours. The funeral of Private Rooney, who died while on a peacekeeping mission in Lebanon last week, took place in Dundalk this morning. Tusla say their Faroga Youth Services will remain in Dunloe for the foreseeable future. In a statement released today, Tusla said that funding for Faroga in Dunloe had not been reduced and that there were no plans to move premises or end services in the area. A Glendies councillor has welcomed the news that a boil water notice affecting areas in West Donegal has been lifted. The notice has been in place for the last week, but local residents have been notified it has now been removed. And finally, Irish Water say it's likely to be 6 o'clock this evening before a major outage in West Donegal affecting Falkara, Mar Rotary and Dunfanaghy will be resolved by 6 this evening. That's all from the news desk for now. Coming up is Chris Ashmore with this week's Farming News and Views. I'll have headlines again at 6. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be hearing from Donegal IFA Secretary Andrew McMenamin, who recently won a National Biodiversity Award. Firstly, though, the Climate Action Plan continues to grab the headlines this week, with many beef and dairy farmers expressing concern about what they feel is a case where they will be pushed into reducing cattle numbers or quitting livestock production. The Cabinet agreed to massively increase organic farming to 400,000 hectares by 2030, while also fast-tracking a network of 20 large biomethane plants that would require 60,000 acres of land to feed them within 2 years. Well, according to the Farmers Journal, additionally 60,000 hectares are targeted for re-wetting, and a further restriction of fertiliser use is also planned by 2030. Reacting to the publication of the government's climate action plan, IFA President Tim Cullinan said there's a lot of further engagement needed with farmers to reduce emissions while developing the sector. Now, turning to that Biodiversity Award, I've been speaking with Andrew McMenamin, who runs a dairy calf to beef farm in Castlefin. I spoke to him about his role as Secretary of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA and how he combines his work with United Feeds with that on the family farm. I began by congratulating him about winning the recent FBD National Rural Network Biodiversity Young Farmer of the Year Award and asked him about what was involved in the competition.
Thank you, Chris. I put myself forward for the FBD Young Farmer of the Year overall competition, and this was part of it. I didn't win overall, but I got the Biodiversity Award, so this award recognises young farmers that, I suppose, farm in a sustainable manner to protect the environment and are actively trying to enhance the biodiversity potential on their farms.
So tell us a little bit of what you actually did on the farm to help you win that award, and how did you diversify?
In the last few years, I've changed the whole outlook of my farm and the way I do things. It's not just one thing that I'm doing, it's a multitude of things. So for example, this last 3 or 4 years I've been measuring grass. It's really important to graze the grass at the right stage, and you're increasing your live weight gain. Adopted protected urea a number of years ago, low emission slurry, spreading, all these things. If I was to look at the climate action plan released yesterday to help farmers achieve the 25% reduction in emissions, I'm doing the majority of those things and I'm still farming pretty intensively, and that's why I was chosen. Also look after the hedgerows. I'm well on the way to that 25% reduction.
So tell us about the cycle of your year. During the spring, you would buy in animals?
Buy in animals, yeah. So buy them in, I'm in the heart of the area country here in the Fun Valley, so plenty of drop calves around me, and have my sources, buy them in, rear them in milk, put them out to grass, then rear about 30, and have about 30 then year-olds. As I measure grass, put them on the right amount or the right covers of grass, and maximise live weight gain and reduce my concentrate feeding as well. So all that there means that I can get some of my cattle away before the second winter. I don't get them all away, but I can get some of them away. So that's reduced my age from slaughter, putting less pressure on housing facilities and storage then, and making the thing a little bit more profitable.
You touched there on the climate action plan and the fact that you've already made some adaptations. So from your point of view, the targets are certainly high and a lot of people may find them very challenging, but do you think they are pretty achievable?
They're very achievable. I'm involved in IFA and I can see a lot of different sectors in that. Ireland still needs food and we still need to produce food, because if we offset all our food production to other less sustainable parts of the world, it's not actually going to change the climate. It's going to create more emissions. And, Ireland is one of the most sustainable places to produce food, and I think we should be recognised for that. But I do think that the 25%, we have to meet it. It will be a bit of a struggle for more intensive farmers, but that'll be offset against, a lot of older farmers, or particularly farmers, that will be going on the organics, and that they will be reducing their stocking rates. Will allow the intensive farmers to keep going, but they'll have to obviously curtail their emissions too.
Now, I note amongst the things that you've done, you've planted several acres of multi-species sward, and you have some beehives as well. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, I was always fascinated with the bees, and there's local Three Rivers Beekeepers Association here in Castlefin, and they joined it in 2020, the year of lockdown, and they helped get me set up with the hives and, give me expert advice and help. You have your own source of honey. I'm not in it for the money of it, but I'm just in it for the love of it. And, harvested, almost 70 jars of honey. As I say, I'm well on the way to getting most of the actions done on the climate action plan and to be more sustainable. I planted some multi-species sward. I suppose from a point of view, there's a lot of clover in it than that. you know, the bees will be back into that. So, like, I've improved the amount of nectar and pollen that they're able to collect.
We never stop learning. We're always seeing new ways to do things. And you would follow a number of programs, things like the Thrive program and the Chagas Dairy Beef 500. And they can be useful, as I suppose, as a benchmark, if not anything else.
Absolutely. Like, every day is a school day. And if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. The way we think, the way we do farming has changed in the last 5 years. And, you know, farmers want to meet the targets. Look, you have to follow these programs. These programs are run by experts, and, you know, it's vitally important. I find it interesting that I can benchmark myself off somebody who's doing similar things.
Putting on your IFA hat, County Secretary, it's been a very interesting year. As we came out of lockdown, we had, of course, online meetings, and there were hybrid meetings. There's been on-farm county executive meetings. There's also been meetings in hotels like there used to be. So it's been a real mixed bag.
If COVID didn't happen, we'd be still having our meetings in hotels, but it actually gave us a great option of trying different things. You know, when I started as secretary in the middle of lockdown, you know, we were having fantastic numbers logging in, numbers that we never had at meetings before. It was great for older people that maybe couldn't attend or bad weather or that. But we were keen to get back out to, you know, nothing beats face-to-face and you have less technical issues. But one of the things that was born out of this year was on-farm meetings, and I think they've been a great success.
Like so many people, time management's important. You work with United Feeds, so you're on the road quite a bit. I take it you have a bit of help on the farm as well at home, so getting that balance is important.
Well, yeah, look, it's played a bit of Gaelic football too for Robert Emmett's too. I have family there, my brother will help and my mum will help, but I've changed my farming practices too. I'm trying to make things more easier managed because labour is an issue. You know, I'm known part-time, but you still, certain times of year where you could be, class yourself as a full-time farmer, like a silage time and that. But yeah, I could help in, and like a reduced amount of work and on how I feed cattle and how I look after them and everything, and just to reduce the workload. But yeah, like the my job is pretty flexible too, and that's the beauty about working in my role as a feed salesman. And, you know, I've got expert advice. You know, it's like the programs that we just talked about. You know, I can always get on to experts in the field, and it's great.
And finally, the outlook for Donegal farmers in 2023, are you fairly optimistic?
I would be fairly optimistic. Look, Donegal is a county, and we see it like it's very diverse from like east to west. I'd say the outlook could be good. You know, prices they're talking it up in the journal there recently, the beef price could get better in 2023, and milk looks good. We don't know about commodity prices. Look, for inputs, look, they're up in the air yet. But yeah, look, there's a lot of farmers going to get into these schemes like Acres and that, and that's going to bring more money into the county.
And that was Andrew McMenamin, the secretary of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Have a very happy Christmas from me, Chris Ashmore. Goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, December the 22nd. The death has occurred of Paddy Doherty, Chuck, 287, the Cottages, Burnfoot. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 to St. Mira's Church, Fawn, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Mary Teresa Sweeney, Eden, Rossbeg, Portneau. Her remains are reposing at St. Connell's Church, Kilclooney. Funeral Mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Neely Carey, formerly of Ballymacarthur, Greencastle. His remains are reposing at his sister Eileen's home with family time pleas from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Bochan, Culdaff, followed by burial in Ballybrack Burial Ground. The funeral mass can be viewed live on culdaffparish.com. The death has taken place of Thomas Alexander Lexi Moore, Moyle Road, Ludden, Buncrana. Funeral service in his home at 12 noon on Saturday, followed by burial at St Mura's Church of Ireland Burial Ground. House strictly private, please, family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if wished, to Beaumont Hospital ICU North, care of Adair and Neely, funeral directors. The death has taken place of John Harkin, Clonkilly Moore, Turman. His remains are reposing at his late residence. His funeral will take place in St Columba's Church, Turman, on Saturday morning at 11 a.m, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m, house private from 10 p.m. daily, and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. And the death has taken place of Peggy McDonnell, 21, Summerhill, Buncrana, and formerly of Ballycastle, County Antrim. Her remains are reposing at her home. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Peggy's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.